Welcome to episode 454 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Throughout the book of Acts, questions are asked of or by the apostles. Today and for the next couple of weeks, we will explore several of these questions and reflect on answers, those given in the text and those you might consider giving if these were asked by or of us. Acts 1 verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" This would be the last time the disciples would see Jesus in his physical body. And they asked a question that had been asked many times before, but it had a special relevance now. They knew that Jesus had instituted the new covenant. They also knew that the restoration of the kingdom to Israel was part of the new covenant. Could that be next? One commentator writes, "The verb restore shows that they were expecting a political and territorial kingdom. The noun Israel, that they were expecting a national kingdom. And the adverbial clause at this time, that they were expecting its immediate establishment." There will come a time when there will be a complete restoration. But that time is not yet. There is still work to be done. Jesus tells his followers to not get sidetracked by times or seasons. Rather, they need to be prepared to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be witnesses near and far. Acts 1 verses 10 to 11. "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.' The two men, apparently angels, told the disciples to put their attention in the right place, obedience to Jesus' command to return to Jerusalem, not in wondering where and how Jesus went. Jesus told them to go to the ends of the earth, and they were standing there gazing up into heaven. Are we distracted from the main thing? Are we watching some spectacle when we ought to be working for the kingdom? What might be diverting your attention from the calling God has for you?" Acts 2 verses 7 to 8 and verse 12. "And aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" Verse 12. "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" People from Galilee, Galileans, were known to be uncultured and poor speakers. This was all the more reason to be impressed with their ability to speak eloquently in other languages. They all spoke in different tongues, yet there was unity among the believers. Contrast the speaking in tongues here with the speaking of different languages at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. In the latter, hearing different languages being spoken caused confusion and drove people apart. In the former, the speaking of different languages enabled more people to understand, and this was unifying. What are we to make of the phenomenon of speaking in tongues? Speaking in tongues has been the focal point for significant controversy in the church. People still ask the same question these bystanders asked on the day of Pentecost. What does this mean? There is no controversy that God at least one time gave the church the gift of tongues. But much of the controversy centers on the question, what is God's purpose for this gift of tongues? Some think that the gift of tongues was given primarily as a sign to unbelievers and as a means to miraculously communicate the gospel in diverse languages. They believe there is no longer the need for this sign, so they regard tongues as a gift no longer present in the church today. Others argue that the gift of tongues, while a sign to unbelievers, as stated by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, is primarily a gift of communication between the believer and God, and is a gift still given by God today. Whatever the purpose is, on this occasion, it enabled thousands of people to see firsthand the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of the disciples. Acts 2 verse 27, "That when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" When God is working on someone's heart, they want to come to him. They will act to come to God. It has been said that in normal seasons of Christian work, the evangelist seeks the sinner. And in times of revival or awakening, things change. The sinner seeks the evangelist. This day of Pentecost in Acts 2 was one of those great seasons of God's work. The Holy Spirit is still cutting people to the heart, and people are still responding. If you are one such person who needs to respond, note Peter's words in Acts 3 verse 38, repent and be baptized. Acts 3 verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. Peter and John went to the temple to pray. And at the gate, they encounter a man who had been lame from birth, who asks them for help. Peter's response is quite familiar. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. After Peter pulls the man to his feet, the newly healed man jumps around and starts praising God and runs into the temple. And the people who recognize him as the man who had been infirm for years witness him walking and leaping and giving God glory. These people are amazed. But Peter denies that the healing was due to either his power or godliness. Acts 4 verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? The ideas behind what power and by what name are virtually the same. In their thinking, the power resided in the name, because the name represented the character of the person. We need to act and ground ourselves in the name of Christ. Acts 4 verses 15 to 16. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? Peter and John heal a lame man. The people are amazed, and this miracle provides an opening for the apostles to share the gospel. As a result of their preaching, thousands are added to the church. This angers the Jewish religious leaders who have them imprisoned. They're brought before these leaders and have an opportunity to plead their case. After doing so, they're asked to wait outside the council chambers while the leaders discuss this case among themselves. Luke probably found out what the Sanhedrin discussed among themselves because a member of that Sanhedrin later became a Christian, Saul of Tarsus. Acts 26 verse 10 gives us a reason to believe Paul, then known as Saul, was a member of the Sanhedrin who cast his vote against the early Christians. If this is true, we can say that Peter and John had no idea they were preaching to a future apostle and the greatest missionary the church would ever see. It is an example of the truth that we have no idea how greatly God can use us. What does this mean? This was a question asked time and again by the disciples and by those to whom they ministered. Sometimes the meaning is not important, or that meaning is not for us to understand at this time. Sometimes it makes all the difference. Father, thank you for the lessons we learn from reflecting on your word. Give us wisdom and discernment to understand your will. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.